Let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. You can be turning in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark this morning, Mark's Gospel, and I believe chapter number 4 in the Word of God today. Mark's Gospel and chapter number 4, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture from there, and I'll try to do my best to bring the thought that God has laid on my heart for today, and if I can make any application at all, God will make it a blessing. That's where it's all going to depend upon and hinge upon, is if I can make the right applications to your heart, and I trust the Holy Spirit will allow us to do that today and try to be a blessing and a help to us. You know, we're all, seems like, going through battles of our own. We've all got troubles and trials, and it seems like that's been the full thrust of the morning hour, and everything from Sunday school right on has been discussed about the troubles and the trials and the persecutions and tribulations that God's people are involved in, and there's no question about it. We're there, and I believe we're going to remain there until the trumpet sounds. So the best thing we can do is just cleave unto the Lord, stand fast with Him, and hold on to His promises from this book, and trust the Lord to deliver us and do great things for us, and He's able to do that. All right, Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35, a very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of us. Bible said in Mark 4:35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'll tell you what manner of man he was and is. He's God-man. And I don't understand all of that, but he's 100% God and 100% man at the same time. So let's pray and ask God's blessings on his word today. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning in Calvary. We're grateful for the cross and the shed blood of the Son of God. We thank you, Lord, that you laid down your life and took it up again that we might be saved. We certainly thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We ask you to bless those that are away from us today, Lord, those that are at home in the hospitals, those that are sick, those that are suffering diseases in their body. I pray for them, Lord, that you'd touch them and help them. Their families, may they find comfort, divine grace from thee today. And those that are here today, we ask you to bless them in a special way. We thank you, Lord, for our visitors. We ask you to help them and bless them and make their visit with us enjoyable. I do pray, Lord, you'd help Brother Hall this morning as I preach the Word of God, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. Give me great liberty and divine help and power this morning. Help me to say those things that will be a blessing and an encouragement and a strength to the people of God. And Father, we'll thank you for allowing us to magnify your name in doing so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to preach out of this passage of Scripture this morning on this storm that the Lord and his disciples are passing through. And for the sake of a name and a title, I've titled the message just simply, Peace Be Still. That's what the Lord said when he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, Peace Be Still. And the Bible said there was a great storm, a great calm at the utterance of those words. You know, it does seem like, as I mentioned a moment ago, that God's people today are faced with a multitude of trials and troubles. And they're constantly bombarding us with all kinds of harassment from the devil and from his little imps. They're always trying to discourage us and always trying to cause us to give up on God, but I'll tell you, if we'll anchor our souls in Him, the Lord will see us through. We may doubt that from time to time, but I'll assure you that the Lord will never fail us. He'll never fail us. He's too wise to make a mistake, and He loves us too much to let us down. And He'll always deliver us as He did these disciples in the midst of their storm. He'll also deliver you and I in the midst of our storm, as Brother Joel pointed out in the Sunday school hour. As far as these verses are concerned, Jesus has instructed His disciples to take the ship and to pass over to the other side. Now, I won't be dogmatic about this, but I think I'm safe to say that it's probably the Sea of Galilee that they're making their crossing on. And I want you to notice these words from our Lord, and they're important in the passage. For He made this statement in verse number 35. He said, "Let us, not you go by yourself," but He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." You know, I want to thank the Lord this morning that He always accompanies His children, and especially in times of trouble. Amen. When we're in the storms of our life, we may not always see Him, but the unseen hand of the God is always there, and His presence is always with us. That old song, "Standing Somewhere in the Shadows," you'll find Jesus and how truthful that really is. He said He'd never fail us and He'd never forsake us, and I believe that to be true. The Lord will always be with us in times of our trouble and in the storms of life that we face, as He was His disciples here. While they were making their crossing, the Bible said that they encountered a great storm. It wasn't just simply a small storm, but a great storm. And I'm sure that many of us here this morning have encountered little trivial things in our life that doesn't seem much, but they're enough to aggravate us and irritate us. But at times there comes those great storms like that Euroclydon, as Brother Gray once said, Euroclydon. There come some great storms in our life, and they seem to almost overwhelm us as it did the disciples in this ship. This storm was so great and powerful that for a moment it seemed like it was going to overwhelm them. And it would have had it not been for the presence of the Lord. I'm so thankful this morning that when we seem to be overwhelmed, there is a rock that is higher than I. Yes, we can look unto the hills from which cometh our help. Amen. And our help is in the Lord. He is a present help in trouble. I think we've forgotten that in this day that we're living in. That God is a present help in trouble. That is, when we're in trouble, He's there. We ought to give thanks to troubles, because it gives us a real assurance that while we're in that trouble, the Lord is always present, and His power and grace and mercy is always available unto us. So they encounter a great storm of wind. And the Bible said, and the waves beat into the ship. Now, I see something here, really, that is difficult for Brother Hall to explain. The disciples here give very little thought at all to the wind that seemed to be blowing. But their concern, their attention is being given to the waves. They don't say much about the wind at all, but it's the waves that has overwhelmed them. It's the waves that have come inside the ship, and they fear that they're about to perish, that they're about to sink in that ship. They seem to be greatly concerned about the results of this storm, which is the wave, but they find very little concern at all about the cause of the storm. You know, I'm afraid we're living there today. We always want to look at the results of the storm. We always want to look at the results of the problem. That is, what is going on in our life at the present time. But we fail to look at what's brought that on. Something has brought that storm on in our life. And by the way, what brought the storm on here was the wind that was blowing, causing the waves to overflow that little ship that they were in. And, you know, the waves were, I mean, the wind was invisible. They couldn't see that. And I want to say to you this morning that most of the time, the storms in our life, there is a driving force behind those waves that is bashing against our soul that is unseen, that is invisible. But if we'll look very carefully at the Lord, I'll assure you, as He did these disciples, He'll not only reveal to us what the problem is, but He'll bring a great calm in our life simply by uttering the words peace. Now, he didn't say peace be still. He don't want peace to be still. He wants peace to be very active. There is a comma after the word peace. He is saying peace. Then he said, be still. In other words, you waves and you wind cease from blowing, and you waves that are causing the trouble, you lay down at my feet and let peace be still. And it was in those people's lives. Now, the wind was the force behind the wave. The real problem, which was the wind, could not be seen. But its impact was experienced. And many times that impact on you and I, we cannot see what the force is behind it, but we sure can feel the impact, can't we? I mean, when our heart is racing and we feel like that all hope is gone, when it feels like that our stability that we've stood on for many years is fading away, I'll guarantee you that there is a rock that we can yet abide on. There is a rock that is higher than what we are. And He is a firm foundation. Yes, I say this so many times. God is a firm foundation. Our Lord is a foundation that we can stand on and build our lives upon. And when the time, when the storms is raging, He's not going anywhere. I think we get the idea that the Lord will leave us and depart from us. But I've said so many times, He will never leave us and never forsake us. He is always a comfort in a time of trouble. He has sent the Holy Spirit of God as a comforter, a paracletos, one called alongside to help us. And as He helped the disciples in this storm, He'll also help you and I in the storms of our life when they're raging around us. I could name many of you this morning that I know that's in that time in your life. A disease has stricken some family member, as Miss Cheryl. And there's no doubt, we, you and I, that are not partakers of that, we can't really get a hold of what's going through her heart. Well, we can pray for her, and we can pray for Brother Andy. We can understand to some degree what's going on with Mrs. Foley. But we don't really know what's going on in her heart and Brother Foley's heart, or Brother Stotts up in Indiana, or my great-granddaughter over there. We don't know what's going on in other people's heart all the time. But I'll assure you one thing. There is a God in heaven that searches the hearts and tries the reins. And He knows what's going on in our heart at all times. He knows when you're broken. He knows when you're grieved. He knows when you're heart-stricken. He knows it all. And I'll tell you, He don't only know, but He is able to put a hand of mercy, an arm of grace around your heart and to love you as you've never been loved before. He's able to take that storm that is raging in your soul today and give you sweet peace. And sometimes He'll give you peace through the storm rather than calming the storm. Sometimes He'll let that storm continue to rage and give you the peace to go through that storm. But here in this passage, He saw fit to calm that storm, calm those waves, and He did that. And He'll do that in your life and my life as well. I'm thankful this morning that we've got a God who cares about you and I. Now, that's not hard to say, but it's difficult, really, to understand and get a hold of it. We can quote the Bible. It says, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Now, I can say that to somebody that's got a loved one that may have terminal illness. I can say that to them, but I'm telling you right now, it's hard. It's easy for me to say, but I believe it'd be a whole lot harder to live. But I'll tell you, there is a God in heaven that when it comes time to give you the grace you need, He is the God, the Bible said, of all grace. Not just a little grace, all grace. He also knows how to give abundant grace. He can give more grace than what we need in our life. Thank God. When I say grace, I'm talking about unmerited favor from God. Grace that we don't deserve, favor that we don't deserve, but there is a God in heaven that will give it, is able to give it, has it to give, and will give it to those that are passing through those storms and those trials within their life. Now, I want to go on and say, we seem to be more concerned and spend more time on the results of the storm and never actually seem to understand its source. We'll never solve our problem until the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Let the storms rage on, And we can talk about how terrible they are, just like the storm that passed through here a few years ago. I'll tell you, I never saw that wind. I heard it. You hear the wind, and I couldn't see it. But I'm going to tell you what, I saw the results of it. I saw the impact that it made upon this community. I saw what it did to the surroundings around us. And I'm going to tell you what, that same storm, a spiritual storm that rages in our heart, we may not see that wind, but I'm going to tell you, we can see the impact that it makes upon our lives. And here's the problem. Come on in the house now. We'll spend more time worrying about the impact that it's making on our life than we are solving the problem itself. The Lord didn't worry about the wave that was causing the problem. He rebuked the wind. And when he rebuked the wind, which was the force behind the waves, they had peace in that boat. And he said, "Peace, be still," and there was peace. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's the same way in our life. Our lives may seem like they're being torn apart. Our heart may seem like it's broken and ripped out of our bosom. But I'm telling you, that is a result of a deeper storm, a deeper problem that has taken place in our life. And I guarantee if we'll search our heart with all of our heart with this Bible, God will reveal why we're going through that storm. He'll not only reveal it to us, but He'll speak, "Peace, be still." And He's able to send that peace to our heart and our life that we need, calm the waves and still our hearts that we might rejoice in the deliverance of the Lord. And He is a delivering God. Yes. Say amen right there. Amen. Now, just like Peter, here's an illustration that I'll make case in point. It's just like old dear brother Peter. The Bible said in another scripture that Peter, when the Lord came walking to them on the water, Peter made the statement. He said, "Lord, if that be you, biddest thou me to come to thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." Peter got down out of that boat and began to walk on the water. But now, hey, I want to ask you something. When he was walking on the water, was the wind and the waves blowing? Was the wind blowing and the waves raising? Sure they were. And he was walking on it. It wasn't the wind and the waves that overwhelmed him. What caused Peter to begin to sink was when he took his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on the wind and the waves. And I'm telling you, that is the same thing in our life. We see the results and we look at the results. But if we'll ever take our eyes off of the results and fasten our heart upon the Lord, and be like David and say, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise," and keep our eyes on the Lord rather than on the storm around us that's raging, I'll tell you, we'll have peace in our heart, tranquility in our soul, and God will bless us through the mess that we're trying to figure out on our own. And we're not going to solve it on our own. We're going to have to look to Him. And He will do that. Now, I want to mention four or five things and I'll be done. The assurance of the peace they had in this storm. How can they have assurance, and how can you and I have the assurance that the troubles that we're facing this morning is that we're going to make it through it? Well, number one is that this storm, the providence of God led them into this storm. It was the Lord Jesus Himself that made the statement. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Do you think for one moment the Lord did not know that that storm was brewing out there on the lake? Sure He did. And in His own providence, He led His disciples into that storm, and I'll get to this in a minute, for a purpose in their life. And I'm telling you what, if you're a child of God, all Romans 8:28 still in the Bible, all things still work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And you can just mark this down. When troubles come our way and trials come our way and storms in our life, they're there because they're there through the providence of God. Do we not realize this morning, church, that we're like Job? That God has got a hedge about us as He did Job, and there is nothing can get through that hedge unless the Lord allows it to be there. Thank God for the power of a great God that's able to put a hedge about us, and the devil, all he can do is stand on the outside of it and growl and roar. He can't get through that hedge. There's nothing can penetrate the power of Almighty God and lay one finger on you without God's permission. Just like in the life of Job, the devil had no power over Job at all except what the Lord had given him. And by the way, it was the providence of God that led Job into that great trial of faith that he had in that book we've read about. It was the providence of God. And so it was the providence of God that led these disciples into this storm. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. And so that providence of God was there. Now, and then secondly, because of His word, they had the promise of reaching the other side. Get what the text says in verse 35. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say, we're going to try to make it to the shore, fellas. He didn't say, row as hard as you can and maybe we'll get there. He didn't say, go out and buy an outboard motor and put on this thing and we'll show these ways what we can do. The Lord said, let us pass over to the other side. Why? Hey, why could they have assurance in that storm? Because the providence of God had led them into it. And secondly, because they had the promise from the Lord that they would reach the other side.
That's right.
I want to say to you this morning, hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got a promise this morning that we're going to reach the other side.
Amen.
The Lord has done said in that Bible that we're going to make it. Why would God tell me we're going to make it and then let me down halfway through that storm? Why would He tell His disciples, let us pass over unto the other side and then let them drown halfway out in the sea? He's not going to do that. We have got a promise from the Word of God that we're going to make that crossing. Listen to what He said in Matthew 10, 29 and 30. This goes hand in hand with it. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them, now get this, and I misread this for years in my life, shall not, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. Oh, I've heard people read that and they take that verse of Scripture to say one of those sparrows fall to the ground without the Lord's knowledge of it. That's not what that Scripture says. That Scripture in Matthew says they shall not fall to the ground, not one of them, without the Father. Are you getting a hold of this? If a bird falls on the ground and the Lord is there, He doesn't just know about it. One of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. He's there. You fellas go out here and shoot them poor little birds. Shame on you. The Lord knows all about them. That's right. Now, them turkeys are a different question. Them deer and them bass. But them little birds are something else, you know. Amen. But the Bible says, but the Lord is there. They'll not fall to the ground without your Father. He is there with that little bird. You know, I've been driving down the highway before, and I'm serious. And I've hit a bird. And I've stopped. And somebody said, why were you stopped? Because the Lord's there. I know that bird fell to the ground. Somebody said, you're spooky. I call me what you want. Somebody said, you're a nut. I may be screwed onto the right bolt, though. I'm just telling you that little bird. But here's what I'm getting to. He said in the next verse, are you not worth more than many sparrows?
That's right.
If he, hey, that trouble that you're having today, God knows about it. And you've got an assurance from His promise that you're going to reach the other side. You're worth more than many sparrows. If He is there with one little old bird that falls to the ground, shall He not also be with you and I? If He shed His precious blood, and He did, He gave the very best that He had to give, His own heart, body, and soul for you and I. If He gave us the best that He had, don't you think that He's going to continue to give us the grace and the deliverance and the help that we need to make it to the crossing on the other side? I'm telling you, there's a heaven on the other side awaiting me, hallelujah. And hey, that's right. And I'm not a bit sad about going. I'm ready to go anytime He calls. I'm ready to make the crossing to the other side. I got my ticket punched. I got my baggage loaded up. And I'm ready to go. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. And there's not but two places. That's heaven or hell. There's just two places. There's not a purgatory. Contrary to what them fellas said over there, let that smoke come out of that little chimney the other day. There's not a heaven and a hell. No, sir. I mean, there's not a purgatory, there's a heaven and a hell. And that's it. and going to one of the two places. But those that are saved are going to the other side. Notice also what he said in the book of John, chapter 17 and verse 12. He said, Jesus said himself, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. I've kept them all. Not one of them is lost. And he went on, to say, I've kept them all. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Hey, church, come on. We can get our heads up this morning.
That's right.
Oh, I know some of you are sick. I know some of you are grieved in your heart. I know some of you are troubled about problems you're having, trials that's going on in your life that you don't understand. You can't figure them out. But I can say this on the authority of the Word of God. We're going to make it to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side because He's not lost one. Jesus is able to keep. Hey, He is the keeper of our soul. That's right. He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. And if we've committed our soul unto Him, He's going to keep it. Amen. Even when the storms round us are raging, and it seems like they're going to overwhelm us and we're going to perish, I'll assure you that John 3:16 is still in the Bible.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'm not worried about perishing. I've got a seal. It's like Grandma used to seal them green beans, buddy. Them green beans that last a long time under that seal. I've got a seal on me. I'm sealed, and by the way, it is unto the day of redemption. That's the day this body is glorified and made perfect, when God redeems this old corrupt body. I've got a new man on the inside of me, and he's a perfect man. But I'm going to tell you, what you see is not perfect. What you see is still no sinful body, but you don't see what's on the inside. But I'm going to tell you, like that cocoon, one of these days, that little butterfly is going to come creeping out of that cocoon, amen. And what's on the outside is going to on the inside is going to come on the outside. You're going to see the beauty of the inside on the outside. It's like the tabernacle. On the outside, it just looked like a mess, really. Badger skins dyed red. But all on the inside was all that gold, all that silver, all of that wonderful art of work that those people had put together because God gave them the wisdom to do it. The glory is on the inside. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's why a lot of people don't understand salvation. All they see is on the outside. But I'm going to tell you, the glory is on the inside of being saved. When I was lost, I couldn't see it, but I'm on the inside now. I was on the outside looking in. Now I'm on the inside looking out. Amen. I can see everything on the inside. And so God is going to help make sure that we give us assurance of peace through this storm because His providence led them into it. And because of His Word, they had the promise of reaching the other side. Then number three, because His presence was with them in the ship. And I marvel at this. It said in verse number 38, and He was with them in the hinder part of the ship. And I love this. Asleep on a pillow. That storm wasn't bothering Him a bit.
Amen.
Do you think He was at all worried? The people today are troubled about the country that we're living in. Come on now, you can say, man, we're more concerned than what we want to let on like we are. I mean, with all those Russia, Iran, North Korea, all those countries kicking up their heels, China and all those countries kicking up their heels, the stock market up, but it's not, may not be as stable as what you think. Jobs, Obamacare, Medicare, health care, Social Security, you might as well shake your head up and down. If you've not got old enough to receive it yet, I'm telling you, you're concerned about it. And if you are getting it like I am, you're still concerned about it. You want to keep it, don't you? We all want to feel that. But I'm going to tell you, we're living in troublesome times. But I've got news for you. Hey, the Lord is present with us in this. Better believe that He is. That's right. He was in the ship with them. So He is in all this with you and I today. And what gets me is, He's not a bit troubled. Do you think God's up there wringing His hands, worrying about what's going on down here? He's not a bit worried at all. He's not wringing His hands. He's not afraid. He's not fearful. He's still in full control. A lot of Baptists would crucify me for this, but He's a sovereign God. He does what He wills and wills what He does. And He's not a bit concerned about what's going on. In fact, if you'll read your Bible, He said it was going to be this way. And in being this way, we ought to thank Him for it, because He said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your eyes, because your redemption draws nigh. We're getting ready to go home. The Lord's getting ready to send out of heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and we're getting ready to leave this place. I've been preaching that for years. Somebody said, well, it ain't happened yet. Hang on, sweetheart. It'll get here. He is coming. I'll assure you of that. He's coming. He's coming after us. Now, what we see here, the Lord being asleep, listen carefully. What we see the Lord asleep on that pillow is His humanity. He gets tired. He got tired. He was 100% man. He got tired just like the disciples did. But He's also 100% God. Here, we see the Lord's humanity. But here, what I'm getting ready to read to you, we see the God-man. We see God in this. In Psalm 12, 121 and verse 3, the Bible said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, there was the God-man laying there asleep. But I'm going to tell you something. He was still God even when He was asleep, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, and although that body was asleep, God was still very much alive and awake. Come on now, say amen. He will not slumber nor sleep. He never closes His eyes. His eyes run to and fro in this earth. And I'll tell you, His eye is on the sparrow, as the songwriter said, and He watches over you and me. Bless His wonderful name.
Yes,
sir. He watches us like He did these disciples. He may have been asleep, but His eye was on them the whole time they were in that storm. The God-man never sleeps nor slumbers. Amen. Somebody say amen now. This was the God-man. Now, the fourth reason that we have assurance of peace in that storm is because of the power that He had over the situation. Look at verse number 39 of our text. The Bible said, He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Look at the power in this. We underestimate the power of Almighty God. He that stepped out of nowhere, when there was nowhere to step from, and stepped out onto something when there was nothing to stand on, and said, let there be light, and there was light. And at His word, everything that is, was. And at His word, He upholds the worlds by the word of His power. We underestimate the power of Almighty God. His word, ladies and gentlemen, all He's got to do is speak the word. When He returns on that white horse and the enemies of God are all assembled together, it'll be that sharp sword, the Word of God, that will defeat them. You and I will not have to say one word. I'll guarantee you He'll take care of His power over the situation. He arose and rebuked the wind, which was the storm source. And He said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, do you see anything? It was a great storm. Isn't that what it says? Now it's a great calm. It's not just a little calm. It's a great calm. Have you ever been in that trip in your life and you've had such a problem that's troubled you to a degree that your heart and your soul just feels like that it'll never be stable again, and you feel like that you're about to lose control of everything? Well, I want to tell you something. Where there may be a great storm then, but when He speaks, there will also be a great calm.
Amen.
That tells me that His calmness can equal the storm. Amen. That's right. He can calm that storm at the simple utterance of His word. In fact, the Bible said again about Peter in Luke 5:5. Peter had toiled all night long fishing and caught nothing. The Lord told him, said, hey, let down your nets over here for a draught. Peter said, Lord, said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But He made this statement. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the nets. And when they let down the net at the Lord's word, they caught a great multitude of fishes. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the power of his word. He's got the power over every situation of life for you and I both. And it makes no difference whether we're healthy, wealthy, wise, or ignorant. He's still got that power over that situation. He's a wonderful God. That's right. That's absolutely right. And then I want to close with this. Because of the purpose that was intended. They could have peace because God had a purpose in all this. And he's got a purpose behind what you're in this morning. Some of you have loved ones that are sick, very sick. Some of you have physical problems yourselves that you don't know how to handle. Some of you may have financial problems that you don't know how to handle. Or other children, children that you don't know how to handle them. There may be, I don't know, family needs. I don't know. But this I will say, that the storm that he's allowing you to go through, there is a purpose intended for your life in that. And one of those purposes very well could be that he might want to increase your faith. I believe that's what he's wanting to do here. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And no doubt that when he said, let us go to the other side, he knew that storm was going to come up. And in coming up, he knew that he was going to take them through it. And by taking them through it, his purpose was to increase their faith in him and in his word. It was his word that made the difference. May I say to you this morning, it's his word that will make the difference in your life and my life today. Amen. And so he wanted to increase their faith. And in his word and in his will, it was God's will for them to go through that storm in their life because he led them into it. Now, somebody said, well, why would God ever will this to happen in my life that's happening? I don't know. But he does. I don't even know why he willed everything to happen in my life that's happening. But it is. I mean, many of you know me from years back. Brother Hall was pretty wild in the pulpit. I had a lot more energy than what I got right now. And I mean, I'd shout with the best of them and jump the pews if I had to. But those days are just about come to a close. But it's God's will. It's God's will. That's the way you know you're running down. God allows you to do it a little at a time. Not all at once sometimes. And it's his will. And I've just got to have faith in his will for my life. And you've got to have faith in his will for your life, whatever it might be. I mean, I think of little Lindsay over here. She's going through some tests in next month. And I'm sure that Jacob and Elizabeth is concerned about it. That's my great-granddaughter. I'm concerned about her as well. I don't know what the outcome will be. I don't know why God's allowed this to happen. But he has for a purpose. He's always got a purpose in mind. And as Brother George said a moment ago, that purpose is primarily to shape and mold and make you into the image of Christ. And he can do that. And I'm going to tell you, whatever storm is raging in your life today, all he's got to do is say, peace. Be still. And the wind will cease and the waves will lay down at his feet. And you know something else that amazes me? That ship was almost full of water. But it never says anywhere at all in there how they ever got the water out of the boat. I don't know what they said. They may have sailed on across with the water in the boat, for all I know. They could have. Wouldn't have been no problem for the Lord. Or he could have just snapped his fingers and scooped the water out. I don't know, but it doesn't say. That's an amazing thing. And him asleep the whole time. What a great God that we have. Asleep and yet had his eyes upon them all at the same time. What a great God. Let's stand together, please.